Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I have been moved to worship this morning. Appreciated the songs we sang just a moment ago. The song, "How Great Thou Art." O Lord my God, as I view your work, your continuing work, truly how great you are. And that is my goal. It was my goal as I was asked to share here this morning to draw our minds to God and to increase our awareness and our thankfulness for the greatness of God. My title, my thoughts this morning are on the subject of reflections. As I come into the building this morning, I have reflections. I reflect on a number of years and what this group, the effect that this group has had on my life. Now, maybe for some of you it's kind of distant or disconnected. I reflect on a day a little over a year ago. When we walked down this aisle, we laid to rest my father-in-law's body. The man we knew as Ira Mast. You knew him well. I miss his life-infused good morning when I'd come up to the kitchen. The house is quieter today. I don't hear his purposeful, his ordered steps come through the house and through the door anymore. I reflect on another day. Next month, it'll be 25 years that I also walked down this aisle with my beautiful bride. She's still my beautiful bride. I also reflect on the fact that we have a son now teaching school not far from here. Who has just started a special relationship with a girl, also from Pennsylvania. I reflect on the work of God. We're all familiar with the mirror that hangs on the wall. And returns to us a reflection of who we are. And I look in the mirror and my reflection reflects who I have become within the last 2 weeks. My mom passed on a few pictures to our children. Those pictures were of our early married life, and we had Austin, who was less than a year old. The children looked at those pictures and said, "I've never seen Dad that young." It's not what I see anymore either when I look in the mirror. As I face challenges in the course of life, I reflect on what's past, the path I've already walked. As I consider the future of our church and where we go, the direction we go, I have to reflect at the same time on the last 40 years of my church experience and where we've been. As I pause and look at our children and consider the last 20 years and the changes that has brought, as I think of the next 20 years in our family's life, I reflect on the last 20 years and the changes that it's brought. And I think of that it gives a foundation for my thoughts forward. I've concluded that what I hope to be tomorrow is going to reflect what I am today. And what I am today is a reflection of what I was yesterday. I can't get away from that. I say this, I recognize that, as we've been talking about this morning already, as we walk with God and as He sanctifies us, we are drastically different from what we were yesterday without Him. I recognize that. But we are who God made us, and we don't get away from that. So I'd like to consider this morning some healthy ways to reflect on things of the past that are good for us to consider as we look forward. Number one, reflect on the works of God. Job 37:14, "Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." I feel that in our busy, hurry-up world, we must stop, stand still, and behold the wondrous works of God. God's works are grand and glorious. God does work through the thundering storm. That's our God. But God also works. God also speaks through that still small voice, His Holy Spirit. And very often, that is the way God speaks to us. just as he did to Elijah. Those times that God speaks, we can only hear if we are quiet and still before him. For his greatest works take place in the hearts of men, in our hearts. And that is the work that is so easy for us to miss, whether it's in my own heart or whether it's in someone else's heart. So easy for me to miss as I run from one appointment to the next. God is at work in his people. Take notice of it. Be a part of it. Let that work happen in you. Number two, reflect on history. Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. We hear the saying, one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. The first of the year, my wife put a newspaper article on my desk. And it was a writer who had done a little research and was writing that from what he's found, every 80 years there's a cycle. There's a crisis, a time of prosperity. Anyway, he went through it every 80 years. And he went back some 5-6 cycles. And there, he seemed to have a point. Generations roll over faster than that. And so we have those cycles in life, and it seems that every generation feels they need to experience for themselves the same things. They need to prove to themselves the same things. And so we do well to reflect on history. This admonition came from Moses, from his song just before he died. He was an old man. He was a wise man. I believe it's wise for us to listen to our elders. We've had admonition this morning already that we glean from others. We get gray faster than we think we should, but It's wise to pay attention to the gray head. Those of us who are young tend to have more energy than sense. And those who are, we would say, are older, have more sense than energy. And so I believe it's well that we walk together, that we help each other. History was not my strong point in school. There's many things I do not know of history. And so does it matter who the sons of Abraham were by his concubines? Does it matter who won the Civil War? Does it matter who was in charge of building the Great Wall of China? Does it matter? There's a lot of things we can get along without knowing. It's not life and death for us. But we benefit from history. We benefit from knowing, learning from the mistakes of others, the achievements of others, the contribution of others. And by learning those facts, by understanding those facts, by understanding what someone did, why they did, helps us make more informed decisions. We can also learn of God's workings in the lives of others, His faithfulness. And there'd be more benefits. Take time to reflect on history. Number three, reflect on God's interest in me. Psalm 8, 3 and 4, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? As we reflect on the works of God, His work in the lives of others, it increases our appreciation of God, our love for God, and His purpose and His plan for my life. The psalmist, as he beheld the creation, as he beheld the heavens and the greatness of what God created, knowing that God was bigger, he said, God, why? Why do you look down and take notice of me? I'm just one of millions. God, why do you take notice of me? Why? Why do you take the time to number my hair? Why? I don't understand. I believe as we view the greatness of God, we don't understand, but it helps us to appreciate God's interest in me as an individual and in you. He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to die for me, for us, for the whole world. Do you reflect on your Heavenly Father? Number four, reflect on disappointments in life. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Haggai 1 verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Life isn't fair. Reflect on disappointments.
Boys here on the second bench. What's your name?
Bryson.
Do you play Uno at home? You know what I mean? I play Uno with my boys at home, some. And you take the cards and you shuffle the cards and you shuffle the cards and you lay the cards out, a little pile for each player, right? Does each player get the same cards? No. Is that fair?
As you observe life, you already know that we are not all dealt the same hand of cards. My cards aren't the same cards that you have. Your cards aren't the same cards that I have. Life isn't fair. That's a difficult thing for us to grapple with. Why does someone else have it so much better than I do? I believe that apart from God's sovereignty and the fall that took place in the garden that we all experience, we all have a part in, apart from that, I'm not sure how to satisfactorily explain or satisfy the question of that inequality in life. I can't explain it, I can't fix it. And so, I have disappointments in life, and you have disappointments in life. I'm confident of that. Reflect on those disappointments in life. We all have dreams. We all have expectations. We all have desires. But not always are those dreams and expectations and desires met. And sometimes the ones that we have, we lose. It's a fact of life. We have many disappointments in life. And I believe it's good for us to reflect on those disappointments. Not to sit and be consumed with the weight and the grief of those things. But I believe it's good to reflect on them and recognize that I'm not the center of the universe. I am so small. These things, this life is but temporal. And God wants to use this opportunity to raise me up, to help me, to strengthen me. God, who is in control, is bigger than this disappointment, is bigger than I am, and He can use this for my benefit. Perhaps there's times, as in the case of the prodigal son, when we have this disappointment, and if we are honest with ourselves, I have to recognize that it was because of my own rebellion, my own pride, my own failing. And so as we reflect on that, I believe we need to recognize that I must surrender self. I must come back to the Father. I must bring Him my brokenness and come for healing. Number 5, reflect on God's providence. For Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. We've already been talking about it. I won't go farther on the bumps in the road that we hit, the disappointments in life, the things that come maybe beyond our control that cause us to stumble and fall and be at the end of ourselves. I believe those are times when we ought to reflect on God's providence. Reflect on what God has done for you back here. He was faithful. He will be faithful today in today's need. Stand still and remember. God does not work for us one day and forget us the next. God does not have any unfinished projects. I do. They're at home. God does not. And each one of us, we could say, is a project. It's a process. God isn't done with me. God isn't done with you. As you walk with God, reflect on God's providence. Number 6, reflect on lessons from nature. Matthew 6:28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. How does the Alaskan-born, bristle-thighed curlew chick, abandoned at 5 weeks by its parents, who fly to the South Pacific, these chicks spend 3 more weeks fattening themselves and take off on the same nonstop 5,000-mile flight to the tiny islands of Fiji in the South Pacific, to the very same mud flats and beaches that their parents went to? How does the decorator crab know to use items of its natural surroundings to camouflage itself? Their shells are designed with hooked bristles that act as Velcro, holding moss, coral, rocks, even sea urchins onto its shell for camo. Why, in the permafrost, high in the Himalayas, is there a parasitic fungus that attacks a live host, such as a worm or an ant, invading and replacing the tissues in its body? Some species even forcing its host, such as an ant, to climb a tree and attach to a leaf before it dies. How the worm is even able to survive and reproduce in that environment is as strange as the medicinal herb the worm's body becomes. Once the worm bores underground, the fungus kills it, and out of its dead body grows a plant-like shoot. This powerful healing herb sells like gold, drawing many to risk their lives to find and harvest it. Nature shouts of a very wise creator. Should we question whether God cares for me? Number 7, reflect on the life of Christ. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider Jesus. Jesus left us such a beautiful example of his love, of his compassion, of his acceptance of other people, and his reaching out and ministering to them. I don't know how it is for you, but I struggle to relate to someone who is very different from me. As I view the crowd any given day, I see people that I'm not sure how to relate to them. They're very different from me. I have my likes. I like what I like, and I don't like what I don't like. And the same is for you. And my likes are different than your likes sometimes. And I just find it difficult to understand your likes when they're different from mine. I had to think, what was it like for Jesus as he, the holy, perfect, only Son of God, as he took on man, the form of man, took on humanity, and came and lived among people like us. As you know, we read how he was accused of spending time with the sinners. Imagine the publicans and those who were on the outskirts of society. That's where Jesus went. How did he relate? How did he, being the holy Son of God, the sinless Son of God, how did he come alongside of the sinner? He never turned them away. He never pulled back when somebody wanted to touch him. He related to you and me, essentially. They were like us. We were like them. How did Jesus do that? I don't do that. That's not my natural response. But Jesus did that. And he does that. He continues to do that for you and I. He knows we're frail. He knows we have sin. He knows we fail. He comes alongside. He touches us. He heals us. We need God's love in our hearts before we can love others as he loves them. Peter also says that we should follow in Jesus' steps as he suffered. And how did he suffer? He suffered wrongfully. I was just reading recently in Matthew through the Beatitudes there, and he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad when you're falsely accused. Be like Jesus. I struggle with that. Do you struggle with that? Reflect on Jesus. Number 8, take time to reflect on God's chastisement. Deuteronomy 8:5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. The writer of Hebrews says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if you don't believe that, just read through the Old Testament. There's a people there called Israel, whom God chose as his people, and follow their course of life. God was merciful. God chastened. God corrected. God led. God was faithful in leading them. So he is with us. Sometimes we're like the little child who does not want to be led, does not want to hold your hand. I can do this. Sometimes we're like that little child. And sometimes God needs to chasten us to bring us back to reality that I am not what I think I am and that I need him. I need his hand. I need to walk with him. I need that fellowship with him. Reflect on the Father and know that he loves you and wants to walk with you even in that time of chastisement. Number 9. Reflect on the end of life. Maybe this is a bit of play on words. We reflect on the past, but the end of life is still future for all of us. Reflect on the end of life. I believe the end of life is something we ought to all spend some time thinking about. Just stop the busyness and consider the end of life. Not something we maybe think about too much. I believe it's good to plan ahead. Maybe you've even have your plot purchased within the last year. We buried my single aunt, and as we went through things, the family thought, but we were able to confirm that Grandpa had planned ahead and had purchased her burial plot 36 years before she needed it. That's good. That's good. But I challenge us that the graveyard's only temporary. There's something more important for us to consider than to have our plot there for us. And that's our soul. Our soul. My father-in-law's soul is not back here in the ground. That's just his body, and his body will only be there temporarily. Our soul lives on. And I believe that is what you and I must plan for. Where do you want your soul to spend eternity? We have two options. We have two destinations. There are two destinations. We're headed for either one or the other. Today's our opportunity. Reflect on the end of life and where you want to spend eternity. Choose to spend eternity with God. God, who wants to be your Father and who has a place prepared for you. Take time for reflection. Would you kneel for prayer?